This is SG Pun, the Stargate Podcast.
All right, Sarah, you ready? Ready to do this? Let's get going. I'm excited.
I have been ready for like ages.
No. All right.
But well, I'm going to tell you, I'm the light on the alternative titles this week.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
And I have three. But then I accidentally started taking notes on that page. And so now I'm going to be flipping back and forth in my notes.
Yeah.
Hey, good listeners. You out there right now listening to me, Sarah, and this guy, Tori. Welcome back again to the Vertical Watering Hole. To your friendly Stargate SG-1 SG Fun Comfort podcast. I am Sarah.
And I am Tori, and we are here at the Vertical Watering Hole, hanging out, drinking soda water, delicious colas. Well, I am.
And some of us have to just drink wine because we have no fucking soda.
Well, I was going to try to make a Molocho.
Is that the red wine and Coke
yeah,
situation?
Yeah, but the red wine that we had it's been open for like a week. It's disgusting.
Oh man,
I had to throw it out.
I was thinking if I had had a Coke in the house, I might have tried that with like one of the kinds of red wine that we have that I don't like very much.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a good idea?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I did that with a Charles Shaw, like,
oh, okay.
Like 64-ounce bottle.
Oh, man, you could have frozen that wine in ice cube trays and used it to make like sauces and shit. And deglazing and stuff.
I mean, I did use 32 ounces of it for bolognese sauce. So.
Sure you did.
Well, folks, thanks for coming here. We're super comforted already. We're going to keep it going.
Yeah.
With season 5, episode 20, The Sentinel.
Okay, so listen, I never know what the title is for some reason. I don't know why it doesn't show up when I'm picking it. And I kept thinking, I should write down the title of The Sentinel, but it probably is what the show is called. I'm very good at naming the show.
You usually hit it on the head.
Yeah, and I did. I did again. But you know what I also thought it might be? Sparrow. The system lord of pizza.
Sparrow. Love that. Love that mall pizza. That mall pizza goodness.
After I read it out loud, I thought, I should have said Sparrow, the system lord of mall pizza. But I already said it.
Well, no, that's pretty good. I mean, I have episode 20. Gate-to-gate missile tracking is the bee's knees. That shit's awesome.
Ooh, that is. That is. Okay, I've got episode 20, The Archaeologist Who Had My Back.
Oh, that's fun. That's
Isn't
nice.
It? Yeah. Good. I meant it kind of like it's like an arty film, you know?
Well, I had episode 20, A Real Fix 'Em Up.
What's the real fix 'em up?
The Sentinel itself.
Oh, right. It's a real fixer upper. Oh, is it? Did you mean the Sentinel? Did you mean, hey, a real fixer-upper? Episode 20, a real fixer-upper?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Real fixer-upper.
Well, you know what? I feel like I might start calling fixer-uppers real fix-em-ups. That's real fix-em-up.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that'll be easier to make happen than fetch, personally.
Nice.
Okay. So the last one, I... I'm writing these as the show goes on. So it started as an ironic title called From Death Row to Being Shot At, a Motivational Memoir. And then I crossed out at, and I was like, From Death Row to Being Shot, a motivational memoir. That's it for me.
That makes sense. My last one is episode 20, Close Encounters of the Treasonous Kind.
Oh, I like that. That's good. And you know what? I thought of one more. Episode 20. What's that? Wait, what's that? Greaves saves the cat. Eye roll.
Bam, 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 bam.
Kershaw kind of saves the cat.
Ooh.
The traitors save the cats, all the cats. Except for the cats that they wounded and let die in the past.
Well, these cats aired May 3rd, 2002. Directed by Peter DeLuise, this episode was, and written by Ronald Wilkerson, who did Proving Ground as well. I'm starting to understand. Ronald Wilkerson does a lot of like the military-centric shit. Like, I think he's probably like an old, and probably was in the military, whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. That's probably what happened.
Or like always wanted to be.
Yeah, just knows a lot about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like people who sort of like legal stuff and read John Grisham.
Grisham.
What a, I'm a real fixer-upper.
No, I like to read the books by John Grisham.
Grisham.
Because they're real fix-em-ups. And I like to edit them while I read them. All right, listen. Mm-hmm. I have bad news. Can you hear this, the siren?
Oh, my God. Sbarro's here. Sbarro's come to here. Town.
And we're all going to die in the mountain or somewhere if you, Tori, can't fucking describe this shit fast enough.
Mm. Henry Gibson, help.
Oh, my God. Can I just... Little aside about Henry Gibson.
Yeah.
My brain just randomly sometimes goes... Henrik Ibsen, or Henry Gibson, because on Laughing he'd do poems and be like, a poem by Henry Gibson. Like, I think I said this last time we recorded. Henry Gibson sounds like Henrik Ibsen if you say it right.
Yeah.
Are you fucking ready? Because we're all gonna die. It's an emergency. Corey, go.
Oh my God. Oh, I'm blanking so hard.
Don't worry. Listen, I don't start until talking. Are you ready?
Oh, sure. Oh, go. Wow. I got saved by that. Thank you, Henry Gibson.
Okay, go.
I think he's dead.
What?
No, no, wait. No, scratch that. Because in this episode, he's alive.
Okay,
We get a bunch of NID shit going on in here. Apparently, they went to this planet and fucked some shit up. And we're trying to take this thing like the other stuff, and they couldn't. So anyway, the gang roll over there to like see what's going on to get this thing back up and running with some of the old NID crew. You remember the Black Ops people, Mayborn's people? Well, O'Neill spends a long time with Henry Gibson. It was never going to happen. I don't know why. It was I couldn't wrap it. I couldn't wrap it up in a summary.
Tell you knew it wasn't going to happen. And you were just like, especially when you're like, you know, remember Maple, remember the NIV guys?
Remember that?
I was like, he's not even pretending it might happen. He knows. It's happen.
Oh my God.
Listen, if people are like, I don't know, Sarah's bringing a different energy. This feels fresh. This feels like, what is this shit? This is some season 3 shit. It's because I can drink again. And I'm so happy about it.
Yeah, you're welcome, folks.
Yeah. Listen, somebody started 2022 off recovering from surgery and still being sick with something else. And somebody started 2023 off in fucking Vegas. So, you know, that's right. 2024, better motherfucking year. Okay. Anyways, let's get going. So we open up with some, I don't know, what is this? Some season 2 shit? I can't remember. This is some tired ass shit.
It's Mayborn all over looks the map. Young it's as everywhere. Fuck. It's yeah. everywhere.
Mayborn looks young, right? Like when he's at McNeil's door. So it's just reminding us that the treason happened. That's all that is.
Well, yeah, no, yeah, it's all the NID shit. And I do, and I, the one thing that came out to me is that Mayborn, he's like Colonel O'Neill, you know, but, but way back when, he's been calling him Jack for like the last couple seasons. Like he's gotten more, but Jack still calls him Mayborn.
This was some season, so like season three at the latest shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Point is, Mayborn definitely thinks Jack, he's trying to be Jack's best friend, no doubt.
Everybody, listen, I don't know. Okay, this show should not be called Stargate SG-1. It should be called Something About Jack.
SG-Neil.
Like the movie Something About Mary. It is Something About Jack. You know, somebody should be back going, there's something about Jack that they don't know, you know, because everybody wants to be this motherfucker's best friend.
It's reminding us of all the NID stuff that they've been doing all sorts of weird shit. They were going around stealing shit, trying to find all this technology. They've been going, they've already scoured half the galaxy.
Yeah. Have they?
Well, it's a little hyperbolic, but
they've been doing some stuff.
They've been doing some stuff.
Well, apparently because of them, we find out that there's just planets that are like, no, fuck you.
Yeah. The planets with the coolest shit.
Here's the thing about that, though, and I'm just going to say, because this is going to come up for this episode, the notion that if you take humans off of Earth and populate other planets with them, motherfucking basic human nature shit just goes away. Like, oh my God, we have never used the thievery. You have criminals amongst you? Fuck off forever. It's crackers. Like, we returned their dumb fucking stuff. And they're still like, never. No, never.
Yeah.
If a group of humans on a planet create a thing and it works top notch, everybody just forgets how to do things. As if there are, like, and I know we live in a very tech-oriented city, but we all know some motherfucking nerds who just want to know how to do that shit. It doesn't matter if you can go buy that shit. They want to make their own shit because they like knowing how all that shit works. There's no motherfucking way nobody on this motherfucking planet understands how this shit works.
Well, yeah, no, we'll get into all that. Right now, we're at the base with glasses, front and center. And he's like, sir, they're fucking SG-9 are late. I've been sitting here. What the hell? What's going on?
Daddy's like, vote is DSG-9.
And then O'Neill rolls through.
And then we find out they're on planet Latona. And we got a Latona right here in Seattle. So whatever, bitch. Like,
We got one.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of late, O'Neill's like, I got a report in here. Like he looks at him. He's like, not now.
He's like, what? I finally did my late report. Daddy, you have to read it right away.
Daddy's and busy.
He's like, dude, I don't read those. And, which is funny because then he's like, listen, motherfucker, we've got a situation with the Sentinel on Latona. And McNeil is like, and he's like, you know, the defense system. And McNeil's like, because I know I read that. He always like makes a face that's like, I read that, you know?
Yeah, like, I read that SG-9 post report, definitely.
They're getting a garbled ass message from SG-9.
Grogan. We know Grogan. He was improving ground. He was one of the young cadets who was failing all the tests, and he's the one that kept getting shot.
Oh, shit. But look, he's like the only one who makes it.
Well, I mean, we saw Elliot become Lantash. It's now Elliot and Lantash. Elliot was the...
Yeah. Do you consider that making it?
Yeah, I don't know. But Grogan did. Yeah, Grogan made it on a team. He got it on a 9. But we can't hear what the fuck he's saying. It's just, it's fucked. It's all garbled. A bunch of mess.
I got a question about Grogan.
Yeah?
Was Grogan a cutie little, hottie-ish little cutie before? Because I was like, I've never seen this man before. He's attractive.
Yeah. I think it was the same dude. Yeah.
How did I miss that? Oh, speaking of, is this the same dude?
He was always fake shot. He was always fake dead. That's why.
I have some questions about what's her name? Kershaw. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the same lady.
I don't think so.
The other Kershaw I recognized from other stuff. I didn't look it up because my phone was about 5 feet away from my hand.
Well, I mean, it was the same lady in the recap. Like she was there, and the same Greaves too.
Oh, you know, I might be thinking of the lady I'm thinking of might have played the Russian lady that lived. In the Alien / Indiana Jones situation. So they're getting garbled messages from
one Sergeant Grogan, our boy.
He's trying to report back. He's like, the leader of SG9. I don't know. Probably we can't hear him, but we're like, he's probably dead.
We do hear some fire. He comes under fire at the very end.
And so Daddy's like, glasses, I guess just close the gate. Oh, well. And I was just like, what the fuck? Is there not a protocol for backup? He would never do that to like his favorites.
Oh,
right?
SG-1? Yeah.
Yeah. It's deadly to not be in Daddy's faves.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, no, they have the plan. They're going to do it. They're going to rock it out.
They don't tell us.
It takes them a while.
We have to be on the planet talking to SG-3 going, when did they get there? Before we know that anything was done to help SG-9. But
well, yeah, it takes a while because after credits, they're in a meeting and they're mm-hmm. watching an old tape of our
Laughing.
Man. Yeah. Of Laughing that was made on Latona, Henry mm-hmm. Gibson. And what a beautiful, innocent man. He's just like,
what a sweet, sweet 70-year-old baby.
Oh yeah.
Little baby.
Apparently the leader.
Yeah. Somehow. Like, why do they even have a leader? These naive bitches like don't seem to need one. I know. I'm like, what is that movie? But it's an NID archive footage.
Oh my God. Yeah. From Colonel Sean Greaves, who had visited the planet and had apparently tried to steal the Sentinel.
This was the last planet that Greaves and Kershaw visited before coming to meet the undercover McNeil and getting busted for high crimes, treason, high treason. It's called so many things, mm-hmm. apparently. I was like, are those all the same thing? I guess so. I believe it. So.
Well, and apparently this Sentinel thing, it's amazing. It just keeps you safe from the Goa'uld somehow.
Remember?
Perfect.
When Ronald Reagan was like, look, motherfuckers, we're going to make a thing called Star Wars.
You ever heard of it? Not that one.
Not that one. But much like Donald Trump in the future is going to call the new branch of the military Space Force, but give it like the Star Trek logo, we're just going to straight up call our like nuke shield Star Wars.
Great. Yeah. Great, gonna, like, great marketing.
Never make it. I don't even know what it was supposed to be. So anyway, this shit is Star Wars, like it'll just zip, no enemies. You can't bomb
apparently,
them.
Apparently.
That must feel good. Can you imagine feeling that safe? Can you imagine like not having a period in time when DJT was president and you're like, I don't know. I guess North Korea might kill us any day. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe this afternoon. Maybe while I'm asleep. What time zone are they even in? I don't know.
Where are they on the map? Look, they have a plan. You know, they're like, look, you know, our boys are in trouble. We're going to take our new sweet-ass UAV. It's got a new guidance system. It can go farther than 50 miles out.
And it's fast as fuck. It can go through the gate and Jaffa will just still be standing there at the ready without having shot it with their cannon. And what it's going to do is it's going to see, like, where are those cannons?
Yes.
I know where to send berms now.
It's pretty nuts. Like, this is a game. It's a game changer, really, for the
It is the actually game. Pretty fucking dope. Like, and they're just, like, are very, the show is very smooth about, we'll just, like, slide in that we have that now. It's like NBD, you know? So, in this meeting, though, okay, Sam says something, and then Deej is a super sarcastic dick to her. Because she says something like, oh, well, NID said blah, 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 blah. And he's like, do you think the NID wouldn't lie? And what I love is Teal'c's a real ally here in a real cool way. He just goes, actually, Daniel Jackson, you know what? I think they would lie. And then Daniel, DJ's first, he makes a face where he's like, kind of a mean dickhead. And I love that part. Love Teal'c.
So this UAV is not the only part of their plan. Jack has volunteered. He's going to be like, we got to go down there. And in order to go down there, we probably need Greaves and a couple other people to get past this shield and the Sentinel, just like they did before. We're going to need their help. So he volunteered.
BT Dubs, though, during that meeting, I was like, wait, the ghouls are on Latona?
Oh, yeah.
I had missed that.
All over
the
map.
I was like, I thought the Latonans were trying to kill him for some shit, and I did it. I'd missed that it was the guilds. So McNeil talks to Greaves. I feel like it's not called the brig, unless you're like in the Navy.
It's kind of the same. It's the same spot where he went and talked to Mayborn, right? It kind of looks the same.
Stockade is in the Army.
Mm.
What the fuck did Aircut? Hey, listen, Air Force.
So high in the sky.
That's what it's called. Hey, Air Force listening out there, if you could just let us know what brig/stockade is for the Air Force at verticalwateringhole@gmail.com. Could I Google it? Yeah. Am I going to remember to? Absolutely not. Do I genuinely want to know? Yes. Okay, thank you. Moving on. Okay, listen. So McNeil's trying to put the squeeze on this asswipe, right? Doesn't offer him anything. Doesn't say, listen, if you cooperate, I can make it worth your while. Just kind of sits there and he's like, you don't want to do it? Okay, well, you know what? And then he's just like, I'll go talk to Kershaw. And here's the thing. So the fuck what? Like, why does that work? Why does Greaves go, okay, fine, I'll tell you.
Well, no, Greaves tells him. He's like, look, there's going to be a quid.
Why?
There is a quid pro quo.
Oh, right.
Here.
But he tells him first.
Well, all he says is like, I can't tell you how to fix Sentinel. You have to take us.
Mm.
You have to, I can't tell you. It's too complicated. There's music involved and math and stuff.
You think he was worried that Kershaw could do it without him?
Oh, maybe. That's possible. Yeah.
And he expected McNeil maybe to wheel and deal a little bit more before leaving. Okay, anyways, he wasn't offered anything, but it turns out it's fine because when he asks for something, it goes without saying. It was obvious that he'd be getting something.
I almost feel like O'Neill played it like that. He just wanted it. But
yeah. He was like, maybe I don't have to offer anything.
I don't want to have to deal with music and math. Like, let's let them do it.
I know. Well, so he, though, like, this guy grieves. First of all, he is like the twat of all twats. During his scene, like, he's such a dickhead.
I mean, he is, although he spits some hard truths. You know, he's like, you think the Tok'ra are your friends? You think the Asgard are your friends?
Well, absolutely, and that's true. Not they've already, we don't even need to test it, we already know they're not. But we also know that the way you don't make friends is stealing other people's stuff and ruining their defense system so that they get killed. Like, we know that doesn't work because we're banned from planets with good tech now.
Well, and he definitely takes it personal with SG-1 because he's like, you know, you got to take us. I don't care how good Carter thinks she is or how cocky you are.
He says, I'll see your Carter and I'll raise you a Kershaw.
Yeah, I got one of my own.
Spoiler alert, I don't see a motherfucking thing Kershaw does that Carter couldn't have. Nothing.
No, yeah.
There's nothing. Carter and DJ could have done it themselves.
Well, yeah, spoiler, we find out Daniel's like some like Simon Says savant or something. Like,
listen, here's the thing that's weird, right? We know he gets languages, so he really grasps patterns, variety of sight patterns and oral auditory patterns. But yeah, this is like autism level patterns. And I am like, I'm sorry. This character, and I want to know if you disagree with me at verticalwateringhole@gmail.com. I genuinely want to know. I don't think this character as portrayed on the television show is coded autistic. Carter is coded autistic way more than Daniel Jackson, but he's got this like fucking insane pattern recognition. And maybe, like, does that happen for like, neurotypical people? I don't know.
Oh, well, that's the million-dollar question. Which comes first, the chicken or the egg?
And it's like, he's like some lucky motherfucker that, if he is, he's some lucky motherfucker who got autism without ADHD, so he can recognize the pattern and focus on it.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Anyways, we're all jealous. So anyways, what a prick.
he gets what he wants. They're gonna bring him, and they'll probably, and he's like, I need Kershaw too. They're gonna bring him. So that's the plan. So we cut to them doing the first part of the plan, which is that they're using the new badass UAV. Holy shit, this thing just flies through the fucking gate and it can paint fucking targets.
I know.
Holy shit.
And listen, there's like four Jaffa standing by the gate. And I'm like, I don't know how they managed to look like such tools. And I'm like, I mean, at least they look prepared, unlike, SG-1, when they should be prepared. But they're just like so still and steady. Like, it's almost like they're keeping adrenaline going, or almost like they're daydreaming.
Well, yeah, I mean, they work for like a tier C Go Out World. I don't even remember the person's name,
Sbarro,
like,
Pizza. And Sbarro. So they're like, those people who paint themselves like metal, pretend to be like bench statues, bench fixtures. I feel like that's what these Jaffa are good at. Like, they're standing still and looking attentive, but they're thinking about other shit. They're like, does Rosemary think I'm hot still? Or is she like into like whoever?
Well, whatever they're thinking, Carter paints them as a target and she's cold as ice. She's a great drone killer.
She is. She's like, I love it. Do you think you'd be a good drone killer?
I mean, probably. It'd have to be, I mean, if it was Ender's Game, maybe. If I find out later that it was actual people, maybe. I'd give video games my all, But knowing, it's not like Carter knows. She knows what's up.
No, I'm saying IRL drone killer. Do you think that you'd be good at that?
If I played it enough, yes. Because I'm good at video games.
Okay. And could you cope with it?
No.
Okay. Yeah, you're a good guy. You're a good person. I kind of think
Thanks.
I might. Well, no, because I think I might be good at it.
Oh yeah, I just need the hand-eye coordination. And Carter's crushing it. Yeah, she kills one group. Another group thinks they got him, but maybe not. They can't totally tell.
I know her disappointment. She's like, I don't think we killed them all. We blew up the cannons, but I was hoping also to explode all the people, the Jaffa people. And I don't, I'm sorry to say, I don't think I did.
Jesus, that's amazing.
And I think I could be really goal oriented, which is why I feel like I might be good at it.
Well, they're like, despite that, we're going out now. So they all get together. They're going to roll over. They got Kershaw. They got Greaves. O'Neill's like, Teal'c, you go with SG-3.
And you're like, who? What?
Yeah, they're coming along.
I didn't know they were there.
And I like this little back and forth. Greaves is like, oh, Daniel Jack, oh, I feel better knowing an archaeologist has got our backs. That's pretty good.
Loved it.
But then Daniel's like, what end of the bolt going again? That's
holding a knife. Holding a knife.
That's a good response. That's pretty fucking good.
But I still don't think he won because Graves was like, I'd be happy to show you.
Oh yeah, he couldn't figure out a response to that one. Yeah, that's true. That's just Greaves not reading the room. He didn't realize he got burned. And also, I don't know if you saw Carter, like Greaves says that he's like, be happy to show you. Carter looks at him for like the longest time, like 8 seconds, to the point where the actor playing Greaves has to like look at her and be like, yeah, I said it.
Do you think he ad-libbed it?
I don't know, because yeah, Carter or Manitoba just look and just stares at him like, what? It's pretty amazing. She doesn't like this guy. Manitoba doesn't like Greaves.
She, you know what she doesn't like? People who don't follow the motherfucking rules. Not a fan. She is a rule follower. So, but like, okay, so they get on the planet, walk a little bit, or like Teal'c comes up and he's like, oh, I was talking to SG3. I'm super fast. So I ran there and I ran back and they said this, blah, blah, blah. There's three living Jaffa. Carter killed all but three.
Oh, yeah.
At this point. Until they send more? I don't know. But like they walk a little bit. They come across Grover. What's his name?
Oh, yeah. Sergeant Grogan. Mm-hmm.
Grogan.
Just sleeping. Yeah.
Grogan the groggy, who like is like, oh, hey, what's up, Colonel? I think I fell asleep.
Yeah.
I was waiting to shoot some Jaffa.
Jaffa, yep.
And I am sticking with Jaffa. I don't care what you mother, I don't care what that guy right there with the gold shit on his forehead, I don't care what he says, I'm saying Jaffa. So anyways, I was going to shoot some of them, but I went to sleep. And I guess I don't snore, so they didn't see me or hear me or discover me. I don't get it.
He's all that's left of the team. And they realized, yeah, you know, there's probably one that got away, Jaffa, one Jaffa who might tell some other people. But, yeah. You know, they can't really do much about it. So, like, O'Neill's like, all right, well, I got to go to the city. They don't have much time.
They don't. Neither do we.
O'Neill is like, I got to go to the city. Grogan, you're coming with me. Carter, fix it. It's a real fix them up, Carter.
I got to know. So, Grogan, he is really later, like, he has quite the relationship with Marula.
Yeah, they've hung out. They've
has
like
an intense relationship with Marul, because it turns out later Marul will listen to anything he says. And I'm like, what? Is he part of SG9?
Yeah.
Okay. So he's been there a minute.
Yeah. 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 They've definitely hung out. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. Like, I don't even know, like, what is the hierarchy on this planet where, like, the world capital happens to be, like, I don't know, a 10-minute walk from the gate. And also, though, like, Marul doesn't really seem to have people. Like,
he has one secretary.
Right, Josh Groban. Like, he's accessible. Like, Josh Groban is just like, no, I'm not having to work with an attaché or whatever the fuck. He's just like, no, I talk directly. There's no, what, cabinet members? Uh-uh. Mm-mm. Chief of staff? No, I talk directly to Marul.
Maybe SG9 messed up.
Good friends.
I mean, maybe Marul is just, you know, like an accountant. Like, they're not talking to the top brass. Like, they're not talking to...
Right, he's the guy who they were like, listen, Marul, we think you're fantastic. The potential endless. So much so, I think we want to give you, I want you to sit down for this. Marul, we want to give you the most important job in our whole government. Let us show you your office.
Okay.
Do you see that flame?
Yeah.
Your job's going to be look at that.
Just look at it.
That's right. You're in charge.
Just kind of just look at it.
You are 100% top tier, pinnacle of the hierarchy. That's you. you're the guy who watches that.
Who's that lady over there?
And she, you know, she'll do whatever you want. She'll get your dry cleaning.
I have an assistant.
That's right.
Because I have to always be staring at this. I can't.
That's right. She'll get your lunch. Because
you can't be going out.
No. What she will do, and we don't like this, but we recognize that when you need to use the restroom, she will look at the flame, but we don't like that.
Yeah.
Don't wash your hands.
Keep it to a minimum.
Here's a vat of hand sanitizing gel. You need to get back to this flame. So like this guy thinks he's the leader, but what he is the dipshit that they were saying, you watch that.
Oh, wow. Well, he's a kind.
What do you think?
Yeah.
It's almost like they're like, hey, do you want Henry Gibson? They were like, fuck yeah.
I mean, look, you know what it is? It's because he has a great office. He's got Senator Palpatine's office.
Yeah.
And even the Jaffa have made the mistake of talking to him, thinking he's like the emissary. Because the Jaffa are there and he's like, you know, Sparrow, I really like it. I really like how Henry Gibson acts in this because he's like, Sparrow's here. He's here. And he's like,
I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, we don't know what you're talking about. We don't want to be slaves to you. And Jaffa's like, what?
I do think there are offices on higher floors than this one.
You can see them out the window.
Yeah, just by looking out the window, you're like, this building definitely doesn't end at this office. That's how we know he is not actually the leader of these people, which is why he's confused the whole episode. But like, okay.
Why are you talking to me? Oh God, it makes so much sense now. Yeah. Because the Jaffa's like, no, you don't know. But don't you understand? Like your people, you gotta tell your people.
Okay, but we're in the office of the supposed leader of the Latonians, Lord Sparrow. I will say this. I don't know who the fuck that guy is. I assume he ain't shit, but like he has a very cool forehead tattoo for his Jaffa.
We're seeing a lot more like tattoos that are like actual just tattoos on the Jaffa. Like just
black ink
tattoos that aren't gold.
Oh, that bitch either isn't prime or Sparrow can't afford the gold.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
He's got to be the prime, right? But he's the prime of like some bullshit.
Yeah. This is tier. No one knows who Sabaro is. Like, you know, even Daniel's like, I don't know who this guy is. He sucks.
So you were talking about how you really enjoyed Henry Gibson's responses to Sparrow Prime because he was like, pass. Actually, no. So what we're going to do is opt not to be like enslaved. Yeah. Gross. So like, you should leave. You should probably you know what? You see yourself out. But here's what Groger is like, they regressed, man. As long as shit works, they don't know how to fix it. And I'm like, that's dumb. That's as dumb as the fact that they don't know what like violence is. People are going to get violent, but people are also going to get curious. So
we're in here. We're in this situation. No matter how it's come out, Henry Gibson doesn't know what's up. He's like, we don't. Okay. Jaffa's like, no, it's going to happen. And then leaves.
Yeah, why does he keep leaving?
Well, yeah, he's like, it's going to happen. We'll see you in a day. So O'Neill and Grogan roll in. And like 1 second later, they roll in. Like the Jaffa would have like...
Passed him in the hallway.
They would have smelled O'Neill's aftershave. Like, it was that close.
That motherfucker, do you think it's Old Spice or Drakkar?
Oh, Old Spice. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. That's a Old Spice motherfucker. So we also, though, flip around to see, like, what's going on with the NID. And Carter and Teal'c are saddled with those bitches. Mm-hmm. So trying to take the shield down. But, okay, I just want to say that in my mind, I'm like, oh, look, they're trying to fix the Sentinel. I forgot about the shield. So I was really disappointed later when they're like, they got it. And I'm like, great, why isn't Sentinel working?
Well, that's the $1 million question, because that's the whole thing.
No, it's not. Well, yeah, it is. But at that point, it was because they weren't even trying to work on it. They were just working on the shield, which is what they're doing right now. And they're like, Daniel Jackson's asking questions, and their answer is, the pattern that we're trying to break is random.
And it changes randomly.
Okay. Right. And they're like, and so far we've recorded 100 combinations, but look how many there, look how many crystals we're looking at, right? Look
yeah,
how many
there's
sounds
a lot of crystals.
Hearing.
There's a big synthesizer.
When they said it's random, I was like, I don't feel like you can crack this.
Yeah. No, yeah. Yeah. This is some crazy close encounter shit.
Yeah, and if, hey, you're listening and you're like, oh, that's embarrassing for you. They absolutely can crack random stuff. Let me know how that works at verticalwateringhole@gmail.com, because really, I don't think they can. But they do, but that's later. So anyway, they basically tell Daniel to shut the fuck up. And to his credit, he says first, maybe I should shut the fuck up.
Well, yeah, because maybe he didn't know he had the skill. He didn't know he had some, like, musical inclinations until later in this episode. It's going to be a real game changer.
I think he does. He's like, you know what? I think I'm just going to sit back and listen.
Yeah. Oh, that's fine. Do, 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 do. I recognize this.
You guys, that's not random. That's from like a fucking movie. You guys, this is the plot of Close Encounters.
Oh, God. And then, well, and then also, who tells him? Like, I think it's Carter. It's like, guys, you know, you got... like, how long did it take you to get this force field down before? We got to do it as quick as possible. They're like, 48 hours. And she's like, okay. Can you shave a couple days off of that?
Yeah. Could it be like
30 minutes?
30 minutes? Like, because they're coming. And so what I want you to do is get that force field down and then get it back up is what's going to happen.
Oh, wow. That's...
Because we're going to need to hide behind it. I do not want to be on this side of the force field at all right now.
That, oh my God, that, oh, that's triggering. That's so triggering. All right. Well, yeah, they're busy at work. They're really trying to get to this thing. Yeah. Back at the Senator Palpatine's office, Ma Rule's, he's still not getting it.
Oh my God, Tori, do you know what it is? Ma Rule is like Senator Palpatine's nephew. Who was like an incompatible force host and a big disappointment. But everybody's like, I mean, I don't know. Like, we put him in place when Palpatine thought he could steal his body, I guess. And then like, just everyone's been kind of weirded out about telling him to leave. He's really nice.
Yeah. No, yeah. He's super pleasant. Like that's
how he got there. Anyways. Yeah. Rule doesn't want to hear about, like, he's like, everything's fine, the Sentinel's fine, the caretaker's fine. And I'm like, what? And he doesn't want to hear about it. He's like, look, there's still a flame. That means there's still a caretaker. I'm not going to explain what that is. It sounds like a job. Later, it sounds like a deity. Okay. He just doesn't want to hear about it.
Well, yeah. Is it, they're like, you have to, this is going to happen. He's like, it won't.
And he's like, and you know why? Because Greaves gave me his word. And McNeil's like, well, he's a liar.
Oh, well.
And Marul's like, maybe you're a liar. And then Grogan's like, no, no, this guy's not the liar. And then Marul's like, oh, okay.
He does, Marul.
Like, are they fucking? Why does he trust him so much?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, you know, I mean, well, no, he's a trusting individual. Like, first of all, he thought Greaves was like his best friend. He's just like, why? Yeah, no, he told me he wouldn't. He trusts this flame thing.
This guy's cool.
He and apparently the entire population trust this Sentinel thing. And like, and that's the whole aspect of this is like this religious aspect of they don't even talk about it. You know,
well, here's the thing, too, about people. This Sentinel's been working for 300 years. Do you know how many generations that is? There's no motherfucking way there aren't people who are like, we demand to see the flame. We demand to see the Sentinel. We don't believe this is going to work. We've never seen it used. Like, this motherfucker's a gajillion and hasn't seen it since it, like, when he was a child, maybe? there's like generations of people who've never seen it, and they're like, sure, Jan. You know what I mean?
Well, it makes, well, I was like, how has this happened before? Have different Jaffa come? Has Marul given this speech before of other people?
Perhaps.
And they're perhaps. Like, yeah, and you know, like, because they did, well, they at least know, like, according to texts and like folklore, that like, yeah, the Goa'uld, they go into the white light, just like the ancestors divined, which will is what will happen technologically later.
Look, listen. There's like a whole generation and a half of people right now who've never seen what happens when a third party takes any interesting share of the vote for president in any state. And they're like, I think I'm going to do that. And we're talking like way less than 100 years. I'm just saying there's no fucking way that people on this planet are like, yeah, I guess the Sentinel will totally trust it. And I believe it works because I believe people older than me who've been alive longer. I don't think they're all dumb fucking loser sellouts who don't get it, man.
I mean, I think they make it quite clear that everyone's fairly religious here.
Oh, is it a religion?
What do you think?
They
talk about ancient texts. They talk about highest laws. They talk about everything in a metaphor.
Okay, this goes back to that planet where nobody would leave when the sun was going to kill them.
Another Ronald Wilkerson script.
That guy believes that everyone will believe all the things, which is bonkers, because there's always like, you know, you get born into the church, or even you're converted into the church, and one day you see some shit and you're like, what? Well, that broke the law, because there's no logic here, and that broke it for me and I can't get it back. That happens all the time. The idea that everyone on this planet believes in this and there's no one with like some charisma who's not like, this is bullshit until we see it. Even though the Sentinel is real. Get somebody who's like,
nah. Well, we'll go back to our original instinct is that those people do exist. We're just not there. We're at this guy's office, and he's not the leader.
Does the Sentinel burn them up in white light? Because
You're fucking with the plan here.
Because this is a question I'm going to have later about Greaves and Kershaw. Is I can't believe the Sentinel didn't white light them. They pose an existential threat to Latona.
Ooh, I got you. Well, it can't just be the Sentinel alone. It has to be, there's two from one, or one from two, or whatever the fuck Daniel translates.
That's true. A super fallible person has to agree that somebody's dangerous.
Yep.
Anyways, like, listen, this is the only defense system they have.
Yeah, seems like a pretty good one when it works. But that's the whole point that they're here, is that Greaves and Kershaw, they left one jigsaw piece out.
Maybe.
It's not the whole photo.
Maybe, because Kershaw's very certain they did it right.
I know. You know what I wrote? I was like, she seemed really confident. I believe her.
I know. She seems exactly like Carter. Carter would be like, no, I did it right and I know that. And I'm like, all right, she did it right and she knows it.
Yeah. She feels that. Well, they're at Deadwood City. Still fun. Carter sees a big old gang of Jaffa outside.
Yeah.
They like finally 10. Showed up.
Yeah. And Teal'c also sees them.
Well, and he's like, all right, I'm gonna hide behind this very small trunk. They won't see me. It's cool. And while they're getting prepped, everyone inside hears they're doing the Mellotron thing, but they hear the gunfire start.
Yeah.
And
it makes it hard to hear the tunes.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought you froze. Never mind.
No, I did froze. I don't understand this note. Daniel, what are you doing? You fucking idiot. Just his 20 head nod should be enough.
I know.
Oh. Yeah.
Can I have your Beretta? Sure. I want to do the puzzle. I want the puzzle turn. You go shoot my gun.
Well, I like how Greaves was like, you wanted to help. So yeah, here, let's trade places. Give me your gun. I know how to reload it. And then the 20 head nods was the actor Greaves does a wee. Yeah. He's like, give it to me.
Tori is just doing like the jerkiest, shortest little like,
it's okay. It's all good. It's going to be good. It's going to be okay.
They're more like neck spasms that move your head.
Yeah. Carter and Teal'c, they're going to see him come out. They're going to be like, what the fuck is this shit? They're going to shoot him.
Yeah. And Carter is like, holy fuck. How do you have a gun?
Well, then he does come out and he starts shooting out. And Jaffa explains to Teal'c that they should kill them all.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah? You think?
Which is pretty fucking irritating given like that whole NID team is very familiar with the SGC teams, especially SG1. You know what, Greaves, among all your other issues, you're clearly fucking racist against Jaffa's and perhaps black people.
Perhaps
black people too.
Well, yeah, they're doing this, and meanwhile that's happening. But yeah, but Daniel, now he gets the help completely. He goes all savant, and Kershaw's impressed. She's like, oh yeah,
because
four to three, five eighths time, yeah.
And she's like, oh no, and he's like, no, it's fine. You just mixed up the last two, and he just switches them. He doesn't have to like re-enter the whole code. It's crazy. You think if it's randomly changing patterns and you miss the last two, you have to wait for the next opportunity. But no, it's fine. Shield down. And she's just like, wow. And what I like about that is her response is like, man, I thought you were fucking worthless.
Yeah. She's like, okay.
I am stunned. Even though I'm on that part of, I am stunned that you did this. Yeah, that's when I was like, oh, shit, that was just the force field. I thought they just fixed the sentinel.
Yeah. No, that's just to get in to see, to touch the sentinel.
Right? And back at Palpatine's office, right? Mm. They're like, Marul just won't understand the urgency of the situation. Like McNeil is like, motherfucker, like, you've got to tell people. We have got to evacuate. We can evacuate most of you. If we're good, we might be able to get all of you. But like, I'm going to leave soon. Because I am not planning on getting captured by Pizza System Lord.
Oh, man, yeah, that, no. They've been staring out the window for 3 hours. It's now nighttime, and O'Neill said all this stuff. The planet-sized intercom starts, and it's like, Sabaros is here. We're here. Let's go. We're going to start now.
Sabaro's basically like, sear my megaphone.
Yeah.
Planet loud and crystal clear.
Try our $4.99 pizza and pepperoni with bacon bits on it. And just some weird sauce. Not red sauce. Some other sauce.
It's not white sauce either.
It's something else.
And it's not green sauce. I don't know. For some reason, we have a yellow sauce on a pizza. Figure it out. I don't know.
Lord Sabaro starts bombing the shit out of Naboo. And maybe now.
Oh my god, is Jar Jar Binks in charge? Is that what's happening?
He's actually in charge. Yeah,
this guy is Jar Jar Binks. He's Jaw Rule.
Yeah,
this is exactly what would happen if this guy tried to plan Fyre Fest.
Well, everything's fine. What are you talking about?
Listen, I know Ja Rule didn't plan it. I watched both documentaries.
Man, that if they had had Sabaros, it would have been saved.
Oh, everyone would have been like, at least there's Sabaros. Listen, they were
that
so
is the best
and
line you can ever say about Sabaros, and it's apt, and it works, and it's great. It's great.
Fyre Fest, we would have been welcome there.
All right. Well, look, back at Lumbertown. They kill all the Jaffa. They do it. And then, what do I have? Carter and Greaves argue? That's all I wrote down.
But they don't. Oh, they kill all those Jaffa, but it's too late because there's more Jaffa coming because Sparrow is like, fuck it. I'm sieging.
Yeah, Carter's like, why are they taking so long? And Greaves is like, well, I told you it took like two days last time. Like, and he's like, no, this is just a bunch of Simon Says.
But to be fair, you've done it before, so it shouldn't take this long this time. So the Jaffa are definitely coming. And so at this point, Carter's been like, you need to learn how to get the force field back up because we need to be on the other motherfucking side. So Kershaw and Daniel are working on it. And Kershaw's like, bitch, I got to figure it out. Go, go, go. So he gets right out of the way. And she pushes the last button right as she gets shot in the back with a staff weapon. So she propels forward, but you watch the force field happen behind her.
Then
she is pulled off to the corner and Greaves is talking to her and Carter is next to her, like being supportive. And she just is kind of wincing and the closed captioning on Prime, sobbing.
Sobbing?
Sobbing.
Okay. Well.
And I was like, what? Nobody's sobbing.
Oh, man. No, man. I kind of felt, you know, I was annoyed for Daniel because it was like he had just gotten it down. He'd fix it. Mozart Daniel to the rescue. And then they all roll in. Get that thing back up. And he's like, fuck. Okay.
Nobody's even like, thanks, Daniel. I think you're a bigger genius than we thought before. We actually just kind of thought you were a smart guy. I think you might have some genius in there. Later on, we're going to drop a bunch of toothpicks on the floor and see what happens.
Well, no, it's good that he did that because there's like 50 fucking Jaffa and they're all now behind the force field. Like they seem trapped.
Cause they don't got it. They're like, whatever, dude, you idiots can't figure out the force field. You don't even know there's anything to figure out.
You guys got no music classes in your grade schools or anything like that.
Yeah.
You won't figure it out. With Marul and everybody, they're watching the place get bombed. Another Latonin comes in, and this is when I realized, oh, they're hobbits.
Because is she also short?
Yeah.
And wearing hobbit clothes?
And the way that they've been like filming is that he's like really short. I mean, Henry Gibson, he's short, but
it's
like
short.
Yeah. And then like, even with him and like Jaffa, it was even more pronounced. And I'm like, oh, are they trying to make them be like they're hobbits or like, they're just small folk?
There are literally people listening to this right now going, excuse me, is this gentleman saying if you're very short, say under 4'10", that you're a fucking hobbit?
God damn it. I was only saying the word hobbit because my next note is Henry Gibson would have made a great hobbit.
Oh my God. He would have made a great hobbit, actually.
Like, perfect.
100% agree.
He could have played Bilbo.
He'd been a great hobbit. Yeah. The timeline just isn't right. Nah. That's too bad. I agree.
Well, and this is like the one part, O'Neill's still like, you got to make an announcement. They're going to like enslave you and take you as some hosts. And still Marul's like, that's weird. We didn't do anything.
So SG3 reports into Daddy asking for reinforcements and Daddy doesn't say you can have reinforcements. He's like, you know, just come back.
Yeah.
Like, what's the status of my favorites? And they're like, dunno. And he's like, fine. They're probably fine. They probably got it. Why don't you come back? I'm not sending anybody else, which is like,
why?
What? Yeah. So weird. And then Daddy gets worried because he's like, in the past, these NID people have like taken a weapon and used it against the people whose weapon it was to steal it and bring it back to Earth, where then the SGC had to give it back. But they were still like, yeah, fuck you guys. But like, he brings it up in a way, let's just say, like,
it's weird.
It should increase some kind of tension. Like, maybe that's what Greaves and Kershaw are going to do. And I'm just like, but they're not going to. It doesn't make any sense. And go where? Wield that weapon. How? How? That's not the kind of weapon you can wield, really. Like, against whom? Why? And to go where?
Yeah, Daddy. Didn't you think about this when you gave the okay for them to join you?
I know. I feel like it could have been cut.
Yeah, it was weird. It was really weird. I was like, we don't need it. We don't need any of that.
Anyway, Kershaw is still insisting she left it the right way, and Greaves is yelling back, it's not possible. I'm like, new mysteries afoot.
Yeah.
It turns out like that the caretaker's a hermit. So he went from being like, okay, somebody's job is caretaker. And I was like, okay, no, caretaker is like a mystical person that nobody knows about, to like, it's a hermit. I'm like,
yeah, just some dude.
Is it like a 300-year-old hermit, or is it like, you know, every generation we find like the biggest introvert and just be like, do you want to be the caretaker?
Okay. That sounds great. That sounds like the greatest job.
And like, here's the thing too, is if it's like, is there like a monastery or a nunnery-ish kind of place somewhere full of potential caretakers, sort of like in Buffy, like it turned out like there's a bunch of potential slayers, and if she had been killed, then it would have activated the next slayer. So like, how do they, if nobody's willing to talk about caretaker, how do they know who the next caretaker is going to be, and like how to do the caretaking job?
Yeah, no, right? the system's not efficient. There's no safeguards in place.
Yeah, I just confusing. And it's like, I guess I don't need to know it, but I also don't need Henry Gibson to say like three different things about what the caretaker might be.
I remember early on, I was like, man, shouldn't they be talking to that guy? Talk to that guy.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, that guy seems to know more than this guy. And if anybody knows who the caretaker is, it should be the leader, which lets you know, again, this guy is just the guy.
Well, but the guy who looks at the flame, even he should have, he's part of the caretaker department, the department of caretaker.
Yeah, he should be one of the only people who knows anything about it. And maybe he does, and he's just so good at like, I'm not going to tell you, but he's like, nobody knows.
Well, that's true. Cutting back to my rules, the Jaffa roll in because they've just been standing in the office. They haven't been in disguise or anything. O'Neill, like, they just come in.
Yeah. McNeil's not like, hey, do you have like an underground security bunker or like another place where we could broadcast from, or we could go to that location and talk about what we might do next? Nope. So he and Bruger get zatted boom the back once a piece. They've got one zat now.
That has to enshrine our understanding of zats, is that the sequential numbering of the zat hits resets.
Yeah, but how long?
I don't know, maybe a week, 48 hours. Like, 24 hours?
Ooh, I like that. Mm-hmm. How about 2 hours and 40 minutes?
Well, shit, you can just get zatted all day long. But the thing, Henry Gibson, yeah, he could like be that dude who like just won't say it, because this Jaffa's got him down, and he's like, I'll kill you if you don't tell me what's up. And he won't. He will not. I believe him. He'll die not saying anything. It's like, absolutely. Holy shit. All right.
Absolutely. He's like, fine, I won't do it.
And then Jaffa's like, well, fuck, I don't know what to do.
I know. He's like, really? People usually cave on that. Like,
yeah, this usually works.
and unfortunately, it'd be really handy if we had, I don't know, gotten at least two other people from this department and brought them into the office so we could kill you and they could see we really do it, or we could threaten to kill them. But I forgot. I forgot to do that. So now I guess you're saying no. And if I, fuck, I'm not sure what to do now. I'm going to get in so much trouble.
Well, it doesn't matter, because they get a call. Some of the other Jaffa found it already. Mm-hmm. So it's cool.
It is cool, except for what's not cool is how we get a little flashback when Kershaw just keeps going.
Oh my God.
I know we did it right, and you know what I'm trying to say. My God. Oh yeah, so we get this kind of weird little flashback time, this little capsule of like what a huge asshole Greaves is.
He attacked me.
In a way that kind of makes Kershaw seem like better than him. And I guess it's so that we can not give, I think it's because she's not really going to get the save the cat moment. So we want to be like, oh, we're kind of sympathetic to her. She has a shitty boss.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. So the caretaker's like, whoa, what are you guys doing?
Well, yeah. Okay. So one, the caretaker is very much not used to them any seeing anybody else. No one else goes right in there, right?
And he's definitely not 300 years old.
Oh yeah, no,
that's like 26. Early,
yeah. And he
34.
And it looks like he is maybe going to try. He has a staff. Like it's obvious he doesn't know.
He's waving it like a weird old man. Yeah. Just, I'm holding a staff. It's his walking stick, fuck's sake.
And Greaves just goes
ceremonial.
Greaves just goes full normal cop in the U.S. and is like, he's attacking me. Bang, bang.
Yeah.
Yep. And no, this is horrible. This guy's like, oh God, I don't want to die. I don't this is horrible. I don't want to die.
He's not even like some kind of mystic who's like,
no,
you know what? I'm actually good with death, but I'm very concerned about what you're doing here and my people. He's like, you guys, will you please take me to a hospital? Oh my God, fucking please take me to a hospital. You got to take me to the city to a hospital. I want to die. Kershaw's like, holy fuck, we could do that. We could totally take him into the city.
Yeah.
And Greaves is like, yeah.
We have our mission.
Yeah. And she's like, and he's like, okay, fine. Will you let me touch the thing? And I guess it's smart that Greaves didn't, because he definitely was like, you two will be vaporized.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
So I guess that was smart. Although at the time I was like, what the fuck, dude? Maybe it heals him. What are you doing? But yeah, so Kershaw gives him some morphine.
Well, she's, can I at least give him some pain meds, sir? And he's like,
it's like, I don't know. How many did you bring? You still have
save a couple. Thanks.
We've been here for two days. We're loosey goosey with the rules here. So a lot of those are mine for my personal use.
I mean,
but he's like, okay, but the problem is they'll know he gives them too much information. Like, this is the problem with the caretaker training program being so fucked up. Yeah. Is like he doesn't know not to tell them. Oh, I have a dead man switch.
Yeah.
And a flame's gonna go out. Because at this point, you're like, why didn't the flame go out? Kershaw rigged that shit.
That is fucked up
because if she had not done that, then they would have gotten a new caretaker and none of this shit would have happened. And a whole bunch of fucking people, Latonans, died.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, fuck these guys, right? Like,
well, and while they're relating the story, Daniel's like translating some symbols next to the sentinel, and he's like, and it's just kind of weird. It's like two from one, you know, maybe, and from this, yeah, that's how they get there. Like,
Greaves is like, oh, are you trying to say you can read?
It's like, you remember that archaeologist joke that you made earlier? Yeah, apparently they're really good at translating stuff. You can't make fun of me or say
I like Deej in this scene because he's like, no, I'm not telling you I can read it. What I'm telling you is I know some of these symbols from another planet and I can tell you what they mean. And I could say they wouldn't have written them here just to doodle. Yeah. So maybe you guys should have gotten an archaeologist.
So it's like, it's not just the machine. It's also some interaction with this person. But well, they're fucking dead and there's not a new one. And meanwhile, I like this. Jaffa on the other side of the force field are just like, y'all look super busy. You're working. There's some situation going on. You're working something out. This guy's super cringe. We're going to get out of here. And they just sort of like march out for like a second. It's just a weird shot of them just like marching out because they just come right back in with the head.
This is embarrassing for them. They're like, okay, you guys are doing something awkward. We're gonna go wait outside. And as they wait outside, like their boss is coming, going, what the fuck?
We're coming back.
We heard you and we wanted to come tell you what was going on in there. We weren't coming out here to smoke or pee or like kiss or make out or whatever. We're like totally, we're not looking at our phones. And they go in and oh no, they have McNeil is very prisoner of war. The bar behind his back with his elbows over it.
There's some BDSM shit going on right here.
I think that's some real, oh my God, that's like some real prisoner of war. Like
he's wearing like a black leather shirt too. It's like weird.
Is he?
Yeah,
he's wearing his black t-shirt.
No, there's something weird about it. There's some weird.
There's some hidden sexy in there. I missed it. I'm very sad.
Him and Grogan.
Well, this is a real upsetting situation, right? Because they're like, okay, well, bring down the force field or we're going to kill him. And he's like, don't do it. It's an order. And then they like do the thing that makes the light glow out of your eyes and your nose
and
your mouth.
That shit hurts. That's like the worst shit.
But I like this. I'm going to tell you right now, I do not think Kershaw redeems herself. I do not think Greaves redeems himself. But Greaves does a solid where he's like, okay, listen, I'm actually going to put down the force field. I know how to do it from here.
Mm-hmm.
And Carter's so smart. She's like, well, that's not true. and I know, I guess she trusts him now because he was holding a gun next to her and shot not her.
So
she's like, all right, I'm going to go along with this plan. Because she also knows he can't bring down the force field. So she's like, yeah, and we're going to do that. And she makes it very clear to McNeil that it's fine, right? That we're not actually bringing down the force field. And we get the man in the machine moment. And so apparently there's no ceremony. There's no like, you have to be like from the Smith family. It's just like literally anybody can grab these bars and activate this machine at any time. And I'm like, well, there should be a whole like cadre of like caretakers. Right? Like, why isn't there like a camp up there of just like people who are like, we're dedicating our life to like caretaker shit?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, and apparently it's a one time use per person. It is a sort of a sacrificial thing to use it.
Interesting time to discuss the concept of suicide bombers.
Yeah. Suicide laserers.
This is one big reusable suicide vaporizer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I will say this. I was a little disappointed because Henry Gibson was like, hey, I don't know. What happens is, I saw it as a kid, the thing gets turned on and our enemies turn into big white lights and then they're gone. And the question is, to where? And he's like, well, I don't know, wherever the designated place is. And I was like, oh, I would like to know a lot more about that.
Mm. Well, I mean, I just kind of thought it was just sort of like molecular disintegration.
I think so at this point, too. I wish that they'd never had him say that. Why didn't they just have him say, I don't care. Mm-hmm. I don't give a fuck. Not here.
Well, and then Kershaw just sort of dies of her injury as well. And then...
I know.
It's a suicide laser because we know it because Teal'c is impressed by it. He's like, this is a great weapon. We need to ask them if we can study it.
And McNeil's like, oh, okay. Why don't you ask him, Teal'c?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see what they'd say. Like with the rule in the background, just being like,
yeah. Teal'c, you know, whatever. Fuck those two. So anyway, the end. So listen, were you comforted?
Yes. Yes, I was comforted. Cool episodes. Good antagonists. Henry Gibson is awesome. I just thought everyone was, you know, yeah, it was really cool. Yeah, I liked it. I liked the episode quite a bit.
Yeah.
Cool. What about you, Sarah?
Oh, yeah, I was comforted because I think that being comforted by Stargate or not comforted by Stargate is kind of like, it's what you bring to it. You know what I mean? It's like a state of mind. And so, yeah, you know, why not be comforted by it? Totally. Totally was comforted.
Great. Well, and while you were watching it, did you not 2 minutes ago come up with a yay, what character you'd like to be, a nay, character you don't want to be, and meh, the character that you already are?
Yeah. What I actually came up with was a yay, and that unbelievably was Daniel Jackson.
Because
he very casually saved the shit and like kind of put those fuck faces in their places. Like in the way that he was like, I understand the patterns, is the way that if somebody's messing with you and then like suddenly it's like, oh, I know karate, bitch. Like we all wish we like knew karate, bitch, like for those moments. Like we'd love to have that moment like in a movie. I feel like he had that.
Would be fun.
Yeah, he had that with the like, oh, I secretly know how to open the fucking force field. So move.
Well, I'll just tell you, that's also my yay. He got a dunk on everyone and show off his DJing skills.
Yeah, which I think really made up for him, his failed jocular bullshit that didn't land well in the beginning of the show with the meeting. My nay is definitely Kershaw. Feels like a bit of a tragedy there. Feels like under different circumstances, Kershaw could have had a great career in the SGC. And I'm kind of confused about how she was never recruited for SGC.
Well, do you think it's something where like there's a litany of recruits, you know? It's like, think about Proving Ground. Recruits, yeah. Maybe some of them wash out, and then all of a sudden Mayborn rolls up or one of his attaches and they're like, hey.
But why would
like your style.
Why would he want people who washed out?
Because maybe he doesn't.
She's too good to wash out, isn't she?
Oh, or maybe like they say you're in, and then like they come by with like something. They're like, oh,
we'll pay you five times as much.
Yeah, we're also in, but we got cooler shit.
Maybe.
Can you do that in the military?
Can you do the NID on the up and up in the military? So yeah, you're right. So maybe that was not the best choice. And I'm gonna say I didn't pick a meh. That's what I'm already like. Yeah. I picked a maybe. Oh. I could see a reason why I'd want to be Marul. Because who doesn't want to be like, I don't know. I'm just like ignorant and blissful motherfucker. I'm happy. I'm happy and confident all the time. I wasn't even scared.
Well, my meh is Marul as well. And I say that he lost a little bit of trust, possibly. You know, he might have like learned some things. It might have been a little difficult, but he did stick to his own guns, and I got to respect that.
And he was right in the end. Who was your nay?
My nay was Goa'uld Sparrow. Because one, he's either dead,
or in a lot of trouble,
or all of his Jaffa died, so he's fucked either way.
Oh yeah. I guess he's not in trouble. He's vaporized.
And even if he's not, he's got no army now. He had all of his best down there. They were all down there.
All of his
best. And now they're all gone. And now he's got what? What's one tier down from Sparrow's?
Little Caesars or Domino's?
Blasphemy. Although I haven't had Little Caesars in fucking forever. And you know what? Sbarro's is... I like Sbarro. Fuck off.
I don't know. I haven't had Sbarro's in like 30 fucking years.
Well, remember.
But I might go... There's a Mod Pizza by my dentist. I'm going again in April. Maybe I'll go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you want to know what the fuck is up next time?
Yeah, we're done with this episode. What do we got, Sarah?
All right. We have season 5. Episode 21. There's only 22 episodes in the season. It's got an 8.4 on IMDb.
Yep.
And it is called Meridian. As Jackson suffers from a fatal dose of radiation, he struggles with the value of his life while his friends deal with the emotional and diplomatic repercussions. Okay, here's Claudio's. The SG-1 returns to the SGC, bringing Daniel Jackson, that was exposed to a fatal dose of radiation on another planet. On their brief with General Hammond, the members of the SG-1 report what happened to Daniel, who is accused of attempting to sabotage a weapon developed by the aliens. What did Daniel do? I like that one.
What did Daniel do?
It's the beginning of the bye-bye.
Oh my God. That radiation, that sucks. I've seen Chernobyl. That's the worst. That's disgusting.
Ooh, but do you know what's good about Chernobyl?
I'm so many things. It's one of the greatest series ever made. What?
No.
The actual. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. They've discovered radiation eating fungus.
Oh shit! Are they gonna? Damn.
That makes sense. You know.
No, that's cool. I think. Yeah. What? I mean, that man. There's some practicalities in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Yep.
All right. Well, I guess I got my answer. We've got our answer. What?
Yeah.
How does Daniel go out? Holy shit.
That's not the whole story.
Oh, okay. It's the first part one of two.
I mean, he doesn't, like, the radiation's not the whole situation.
Oh, okay. Damn. It's a hell of a day.
Don't worry.
Well, sweet. Well, I can't wait.
Yeah, me too. I feel like we don't have to do Come Try It because we did it at the beginning. I don't even remember what the Come Try It was.
Come Try a soda. And shaker and spear.
Oh, right. Those are great. Okay. Well, now that we've done that, it's time for our final segment. Get to know your host.
Your host.
Sarah and Tori.
That's perfect.
I was thinking we would do a would you rather.
Okay.
This week. Middle. Okay. Would you rather run a small business, but all of your employees are talking swans, or you're deeply in debt to mobsters who use lightsabers? Dude. Why would you ever pick that?
Dude, the swans.
You're deeply in... Yeah. What horrible card is in this deck that you would ever pick?
If I had a business that worked... With employees being talking swans, that'd be amazing.
Listen, because here's another one. So we're putting all of them up against you're deeply in debt to fucking Sith mobsters.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. Let me know if this one beats it. The world's entire water supply comes from a spigot on your forehead.
You'd be...
They're going to cut you to pieces with lightsabers.
Yeah, but you just have to be strapped to a table. You don't get to do anything. Maybe they can just feed you morphine all day long. No, that would fuck with the water.
Huh. I don't feel like enough water could come out of my forehead.
It's just...
How big just is this gushing. Spigot?
It's like, this large.
How big is... I mean, I don't have an especially large forehead.
Huge, huge pressure. A lot of pressure.
Okay.
And it's just constant.
Yeah, maybe you'd rather be dead. And you might be able
to
maybe
on a date.
You could evade the mobsters or get some money from somewhere. Yeah, okay.
How about this one? Okay.
Do you want me to find let's find one that beats Spigot.
This is a funner way to play this game.
It is. Okay. Okay, so now we're trying to beat the world's entire water supply comes from a spigot on your forehead. Would you rather go live on Mars and never come back?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, me too. Would you rather the world's entire water supply comes from a spigot on your forehead or you have to fill your pants with gravy every morning? Definitely gravy. Save some of that for my biscuits.
That already happens.
Spigot, forehead. You know everyone's future and it's not looking good. Yeah, I feel like that already, to be honest. Okay. You're famous for having the world's smallest penis. That's fine with me. I don't really want to have a big dong. I don't really care. People were like, you have an itty bitty penis, Sarah.
I mean, actually, yeah, no, like if you were known as that, you know, the women who are... love that shit.
You wouldn't have to
would know who you are. And they'd come right to you.
You wouldn't have to worry on every date about when you're going to reveal
that. Everyone already knows. So yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Forehead spigot. Or the Keebler elves have extremely loud orgies in your bedroom walls.
Oof.
Yeah, this. I don't know if you can beat forehead spigot. We'll do one more. Okay. Have a tail. Easy. Much rather have a tail.
You know what? No. Okay. So no, this will be, let this be a continuous game. Enshrine spigot somehow.
Yep. I'm keeping forehead spigot out. And I'm going to put the ones with cards we've already used in a separate spot. And we're going to do this for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mm-hmm. And if you have thoughts and you disagree, you know where to go. It's verticalwateringhole@gmail.com.
Nice. Nice. Okay. Well, yeah, folks, go talk to us over there. Go to our website, the7thsymbol.com, to listen to more episodes. Mm-hmm. And also check out our Patreon at patreon.com/sgfun. We're there. Check us out. See if you want to support the channel.
Hey, feel free to put shit on social media. Just because we don't fuck with social media doesn't mean you can't fuck with social media on our behalf. Go for that. That's awesome. Do that.
Yeah. We don't want to do that.
Mostly come back. Thanks for coming this time. Come back another time.
Hey, is there a card in there that says advertise on social media anything at all ever? That might beat spigot.
What do we care? We're not going to see it. We're not on there.
Oh, man.
It's just net gain, I think. So.
All right. Well, Sarah, you comforted?
100%.
I'm comforted.
So comforted.
Folks, we hope you are too. Thanks for joining us at the Vertical Watering Hole.
Thank you.
Until next time.
Holy Hannah.
Holy Hannah.
Wait, what was the other thing?
Don't join a cult or something like that.
Stay away from cults.
Anyway,
fuck that. Holy Hannah. Holy Hannah.
Bye.
Bye.
There's nothing physically wrong with them, or at least nothing I can find.